Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss of First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Devanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. We read today from St. John chapter 16, beginning at verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, "See, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." Jesus makes a tremendous promise. He tells us today the promise and the purpose and the power of prayer. Whatever we ask the Father in Jesus' name, he'll give us. We have Jesus' promise on that. Without the promise, we couldn't pray to God for anything. Jesus tells us we should pray in his name, because without the name of Jesus, we can't pray. Apart from Jesus, we don't even know who God is, and we don't know God, because Jesus is the only one who shows us God. Jesus explains how it is that we can pray in his name, and it will be as if Jesus himself is praying for us. He says, "The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." What Jesus promises us must be so, because Jesus came to us from God. The Bible teaches quite plainly that there is only one God. But this doesn't mean that everyone who agrees that God is one is on the side of God. St. James writes, "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." The notion that a prayer offered to an unknown God is a prayer to the true God is a fatal delusion. It's a lie. You may not pray, you cannot pray, without Christ's promise. Before you can pray, you must be invited. You may not go to the Father on your own. You can only go to him through Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The relationship between God the Father and his only begotten Son is eternal. As the Christmas hymn puts it, "Of the Father's love begotten ere the worlds began to be." In the eternal past, the Father loved the Son. In the eternal past, the Spirit proceeded from the Father and the Son. Before time began, the Son shared all that the Father had, because he was always the Son, just as the Father was always the Father. Once a Christian and a Muslim had an argument about what is God's greatest attribute. The Muslim said it was God's power to do whatever he wanted to do. The Christian disagreed, saying that the greatest attribute of God was his love. "Oh no," the Muslim countered, "if love is God's greatest attribute, God is dependent on those he loves. If love is the greatest attribute, God becomes weak because he cannot fully be God without creating someone to love, and that would make God dependent on his creation." "No," the Christian replied, "you don't understand because you deny the Holy Trinity. Love is most certainly the greatest attribute God possesses, and it is eternal. For God the Father loved his Son from eternity to eternity, and there never was or could be a time when the Father did not love the Son with a perfect, holy, pure, fatherly love." Now look at Jesus and you will see this love. See the Father's love in the only place it can be found, in the humanity of Jesus. For the one begotten of his Father before all worlds became flesh and blood in the womb of the Virgin Mary and was made man. This perfect manhood shows us God the Father. And as we learn to love Jesus, we learn to love God. We see Jesus visibly showing us acts of mercy, kindness, patience, compassion. We see this perfect man's perfect love and perfect obedience and perfect suffering. Now, what are we seeing? We are seeing right into the heart of our Heavenly Father. For nothing he does alone. Nothing he does can be separated from his Father. When you learn of Jesus and learn to love and trust in him with all your heart, you are finding in Jesus the Father in heaven. And so Jesus teaches us to call God Father. The eternal and unique relationship between God the Father and his eternally generated Son becomes the foundation for a promise. You know me, Jesus said. You love me. And this means that you know and you love the Father. So pray. Ask whatever your heart desires. Call upon the Father who created you and put you in this world. What is it that you need? Or what is it that burdens you? Consider the prayer that Jesus taught us, a prayer that God will most certainly answer in the affirmative. We pray that God would hallow his name, and so he will. He will send us faithful preachers who will preach the pure gospel that keeps God's name from being profaned among us. We pray that God's kingdom come, and so it will, as God uproots the devil's power in our lives and fills us with the Holy Spirit. We pray that God's will be done, and he will do his will among us, and his will be for our good, and it will reveal his grace. We pray for our daily bread, and God keeps us clothed and fed. He's the one who causes the crops to grow. He's the one who keeps the economy from crashing. He answers our prayers for daily bread. We pray for forgiveness, and he forgives, and thus enables us to forgive those who sin against us. We pray for help in the face of trials and temptations, and he relieves them out of his fatherly love. We pray deliverance from evil, and he grants us a blessed departure from this world. No greater gift can God give than that we die confessing the truth by which we have received eternal life. We have Jesus' promise. He promises God will answer our prayers. We know as well the true purpose of all our prayers. It is that our joy may be full. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, to have the fullness of joy isn't necessarily always to be happy on the surface of things. Some people have a more morose personality, while others are more bubbly and cheerful. This doesn't have anything to do with faith or prayer or the power of prayer. The joy of which Jesus speaks goes deeper than anything known in nature. It is the joy of knowing God. Prayer isn't a shopping list of stuff we want. Prayer is prostrating ourselves before our Creator with the certain confidence that he is our loving Father. When we open our hearts to him and pour out our requests, he's happy to hear us and happy to do whatever it is we need done. And this is what brings us such joy. We know that the promise Jesus has given actually results in our having God's undivided attention. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," but we do know that God is with us right here on earth. Yes, we do. He who has all the power of heaven brings this power to us here on earth. He sees our need, and he's prepared us for heaven. This he did by sending into this world his Son. Listen once more to how Jesus puts it in our text. "I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world to go to the Father." Why should Jesus make such a journey? For us. That's why. For us. The Father sent his Son to us, that through this same Son we might ascend to the Father. This is the presupposition of Christian prayer. We know we are going to heaven to be with the Father, whom we have met in Jesus. We have learned to know and to love this man, this perfect man who died for us, and in knowing him, we know the Father, and we know where we belong. We belong in heaven with the God in whose name we are baptized. We belong in heaven with the angels and archangels and the company of the apostles and prophets. We belong in heaven with those who have confessed here below the same faith that we preach and teach and confess today. What a joy! Whenever we pray, the same angels attend us who attend the saints above. Whenever the word of God is proclaimed in its purity and the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, our gracious God raises our hearts to heaven, and he fills us with unspeakable joy in his presence. And when we pray at home, at work, in the car, all alone, even without words, but only the heart relying on Christ's blood and righteousness and expecting nothing but good from the Father who sent him, we're filled with joy. God sends that joy. The purpose of prayer is joy, the fullness of joy that God gives us in Jesus. And finally, the power of prayer is the power of Jesus' blood. It isn't your power, it's not my power, it's not the power of the saints or the angels. It is the power of the most holy obedience and precious blood of Jesus shed on the altar of the cross, offered up to the penal justice of God to pacify his wrath forever and to set us at peace with him. The only thing that could keep us from praying is our own unworthiness and sin. Otherwise, we would run to God and talk to him with confidence, even as Adam did before the fall. But as Adam and Eve hid themselves and ran away from God in their guilt and shame, so do all of their children. And this is the reason we don't pray with true confidence. Before we learn that our God is a consuming fire, we don't even know who he is. But before we know God in the sacrifice of his Son, we don't know who he is. When we know God in Jesus suffering for us, then and only then can prayer be powerful. For only the prayer that is offered by the righteous man or woman or child can avail before God. And we are righteous only as we are covered by Christ's blood and washed clean of every sin. God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. This is the power of prayer. We don't pray in order to become righteous before God. We pray because we are righteous before God. And that is freely given to us in the gospel. Jesus gives us the promise to pray in his name, and God hears us. Jesus gives us the purpose of prayer, and it is the fullness of joy, the joy of heaven. In Jesus alone is the real power of prayer. He makes us fit to ask God for whatever we need with the full confidence that he will answer us. So we pray in Jesus' name, and God fills us with his joy. And we thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This broadcast is brought to you by members of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We are a parish of three congregations: First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, North Dakota, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, Minnesota, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Minnesota. We have divine service Sunday mornings, 8 o'clock at First Evanger in Fertile, 9:30 at Grace in Crookston, and 11:30 at First American in Mayville. This parish is committed to the historic Christian faith. We believe that the Bible is the written and inerrant Word of God. We believe that Luther's Small Catechism, the Augsburg Confession, indeed all of the Lutheran confessions, are faithful presentations of the biblical teaching. And we believe that what we believe, teach, and confess in this parish is precious. God gave it to us, and we want to share it with you in our community. If you'd like to know a little bit more about our parish and what we believe, teach, and confess, go to christforus.org on the World Wide Web. And please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.